Appreciate everyone that's here, and if you're a visitor and you could fill out your card and drop it in the offering, or if you didn't do that, we have a visitor center to the double doors to the left. Please register your visit there. We'd like to make sure that we know that you are here and we can meet any need that you have. So right through the doors, then to the left is our visitor center. Well, in the Bible, there are negatives as well as positives. Some people just want all the positives. They don't want the negatives. Today, we have negatives and positives in the Bible. And I'd like you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11 and 12, first of all, which is presented as a negative. And then I'll read that. It says, "Let a woman learn in silence with subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And so a woman that wants to be a pastor, an evangelist, wants to be a preacher, wants to lead, the Bible says here that that's not the main purpose of the woman. That's not what God wants the woman to do. She's not to be teaching a Bible study for men, and she's not to be preaching. So that is something that will not give you the best in your life as a woman, and will not give your children the best shot that they can have in life, is to try to get a leadership responsibility by being a pastor, an evangelist, a preacher, teaching a Sunday school class of adults with men and women. And then it says in 1 Timothy 2:9, a positive. It says, in like manner, this is for you ladies, in like manner also, it says, and I'll read the whole verse, in like manner also, women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And so, in other words, women are the crown of God's creation. God made a woman to be looked at by her husband and to be beautiful, and that's what he did for women. I believe women are the most beautiful, and God made you that way. And he says that you can dress in such a way is to call attention to the God that made you, and to call attention to the message of the Bible. You know, some Bible, the only Bible that certain people are going to have are seeing you. We used to have a house that we bought for ladies, and we had certain rules for dress, right? Miss Judy, you remember that? Miss Judy was in there. We had certain rules for dress. And I remember the men in the neighborhood, the house was right over here, and I remember the men in the neighborhood, they would say, "We really appreciate your ladies, how they dress. They dressed in modest apparel. And wow, we don't see such femininity today." You know, today it is not that way. I was thinking of a conservative lady, and I like this lady's conservative podcast and all of that, and she's a very lovely lady, but a lady wrote into her and she said, "You're showing way too much cleavage here." And she went, basically, tough rocks. My mother would like what you're saying, but I don't like what you're saying. I'm going to dress the way I'm going to dress and do what I'm going to do. Now, I like this lady's teaching, but the lady that wrote in was absolutely right. She's distracting. And any man that's watching that is not going to be getting the message like he should. He's going to be focused on that. And God knows that, and yet it's sad when women are stubborn about the matter of dress and they show flesh that they should not be showing. And what a difference it is when a woman dresses modestly. And then it says here in 1 Timothy 2:10, it says this, "But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So you don't only dress with modest clothing, but listen to me, you dress by the positive things that you do. And I'm talking to ladies now. Thank God for wives here in our church. Thank God for mothers here in our church. Thank God for ladies that are full of good works. You know, the Bible says of a godly woman, she, Proverbs 31, she, speaking of her husband, doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, my wife, even when she's mad at me, she can't help but doing good. I call her a compulsive do-gooder. I said, you're a compulsive do-gooder. You know, I'm obviously, you should slap me right across the face, but she'll do me good. And I'm just saying, you know, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But I'm just saying that we have women in this church and you young women that are going to be wives and mothers, that God says that not only should you dress in a way that calls attention to your face and not to certain areas of your body that men would focus on, that should be protected. But you, by your good works, you are positively benefiting. You don't have to be a pastor and preach. You don't have to. You're doing so much. And our ladies, I call our ladies that do these things our dream team. They're like a dream team. And that's what God wants. Wives that do their husbands good. Wives and mothers that do their children good all the days. And women that do men in the church good, that are serving God, that help in a great way. They don't have to be a pastor or deacon to do that. They can be a servant of God that's helping. And what a blessing that is. And I want to just give praise to the wives and mothers that are like that. And I want to encourage our women to follow that example. And so he says here in, not only that, he says in verse 13 of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, he gives the reason why women shouldn't be pastors and leaders, why their role is to be serving and helping, and they play such a part. He says in verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was first formed, then Eve. What does that mean? God made Adam to be a hunk. How many would like a hunk? Oh, no, I won't. Don't raise your hand. Adam was a hunk of clay, and God made him, and he had, you know, ripply muscles, no doubt. He was a good-looking hunk. And then God breathed into him a soul and spirit. He became alive, and he stood up, and he didn't have a wife. He had animals that he could name, and he had a garden that he could take care of. He had a career as a zoologist and a horticulturalist, and, you know, he had a career, but he didn't have anybody to share it with. He didn't have a companion. He didn't have somebody that could be like him. And so he was alone, and God said it's not good that the man should be alone. Now, he was more career-centered, and then God took out of his rib, took a rib right out of his body, did surgery, put him under anesthesia, took his rib out, and he formed a woman from the man. Why did he take her out of his side, not out of his foot? Because he was not to trample on her. Why did he take her out of his side, not his head? Because she was not to master him and rule over him and make him a head pecked, whatever. No, he was to be under her protection, under her care, and to be his partner, his companion, that could help him. And that was her role, that she was created to do that. And so she was made from the man, listen to this, for the man to correspond to him. That's why a woman, so much of her life is related to a man, and she's man's there. God calls a man to be a pastor. God calls a man to be an evangelist. God calls a man to be a missionary. He calls a woman to a man. And she's being prepared to be helping that man. And so it says in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name, get this, what was their surname? Adam or Adam in the day when they were created. So Adam's name was Adam Adams. Adam Adams or Adam Adam. Adams, I like to say Adam Adams. But what was Eve's name? Eve Adams. because they were both Adam. That was their surname. Her first name was Eve. His first name was Adam. So it was Adam Adams and Eve Adams. That's why, by the way, a woman, when she gets married, she's made for the man to be his partner, his companion. That's why she takes on his name, the last name. Now, I remember years ago when Bill and Hillary Clinton were running for president, and that was about it. They were both, and I remember Hillary giving a speech, and she was speaking to these leftist liberal ladies, and she said to the ladies, she said, I have to take on my husband's last name. My name is Hillary Rodham. I don't want to be Hillary Clinton. She said, I have to take it on because the American people are too backward. They're still too conservative. And he won't get elected if I don't take on his last name. But there's coming a day when it won't be that way. I won't have to do that. Well, you see, I don't like Hillary Clinton's philosophy. I like the Word of God. And this women's lib thing is nothing less or more than Satan's fib. And God made a woman to be for the man, from the man, and a partner to help the man. And that is where she succeeds. This thing about a woman has to have her own career, has to establish her own self, get her own independence, that comes right out of the pit of hell. And it's not in the Bible. Now, 1 Timothy 2:14 says, not only should a woman not be a leader because the man was created to be the leader, and he was the king of the world, and she was created to be his queen and to rule with him and to help him to rule. By the way, I firmly believe that opposites attract, that in marriage, that my wife is so opposite of me, it's unbelievable. I mean, she's everything I'm not. And I'm everything she's not. And we're opposites. And that can create problems. But it can also be a tremendous blessing. And I have recognized her gifts and her abilities. And I say, look, you take this, you take that, you take this, you take that. And I don't micromanage her. You know, there's some guys, the woman's peeling potatoes, and they go and they micromanage. You left too much potato peel on there. And they're standing over her. I mean, either you do the cooking or let her do the cooking, but get out of... And I do certain things, and my wife doesn't micromanage. She doesn't have me to run everything by her that I do. Now, we could talk about it, but it functions best that way. In other words, a man and a woman, they could be apart and come together and accomplish so much because they're on the same team. My wife is on my team, and when I succeed, she succeeds, and that's the way it should be. And so God makes the woman for the man, and not to rule over the man, and not to be a leader. And then 1 Timothy 2:14 says, not only that, and Adam not only was made first, but Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And so what God's saying is a woman is more emotionally based than a man. That's a positive. What's the negative side of that? Well, Satan can use that to deceive her. In other words, when Satan came to Eve, he literally deceived her. She thought she would be as God if she took the forbidden fruit. She thought, I could make my own decisions like God. This is going to be great. She was deceived by the devil, and he played on her. When she came to Adam and said, here, take this, he was not deceived. He said, that's Satan. Now you're going to get it. And I'm going to get it with you because I love you. And I'm going to take the punishment. And if he would have said, no, I'm not taking the punishment, God would have given him another wife. He would have been a widower. But he said, no, I'm going to take the punishment. He wasn't deceived, but he just took the punishment. And you know, the Bible speaks about that kind of a thing, and that's really important. But a woman is emotionally based. You know, I have three daughters, and my middle son, when my wife was giving birth to the youngest baby, Brian, she was in CMC Hospital. CMC Geisinger up there. And I remember there was a curtain around her bed, and I was around her bed, and she had to be in bed for a number of months, which meant I had to be Mr. Mom. And so they're all up there, all the kids are there, and we're visiting, and we're ready to go. Okay, come on, guys. Come on, we got to go. And one of the sons was missing. And it was my middle son, Bo. And what he had done is he wrapped himself around the curtain until it just disappeared. And we couldn't find him, and we had to unwrap the curtain. And he said, "Oh, Dad, please, you don't understand. I need her. I need her. I can't." So I finally got him home, and I started cooking, and I just started throwing all this stuff in the pot, you know. And it came out green. And they said, "Dad, what is this?" I go, "It's green supreme. Eat it." And then we had some kind of chicken backs, and there's chicken necks. There was no meat on it. It was not good. And they're like pleading, "Mom, we need Mom back. We need her back doing what she does." And amen and amen to that. I'm just saying that what will you give your mother for Mother's Day? Because the best calling of a woman is to help a man, to complete a man. And that is God's plan. And women say, "But men burn me. Men have done wrong." Well, maybe you got the wrong guy. But if you get the right man, it will be a good thing, and God will indeed bless your life. And you know what? A woman, people want to do deals with me and things, I like to run it by my wife. You say, "Why do you run it by your wife?" Because she has what's called, have you ever heard of woman's intuition? What a blessing that is. She has the ability to tell me things, and I do this over and over again because I know that woman is raised up to be my helper. And I'm stupid if I don't run it by her. So I've learned by experience, run it by her. And she'll come up with this side of it. I never saw that. Oh, that's cool. All right. Yeah, I can see that. Now, I'm the head. I'll make the final decision, right? But why, just like the president, why not run it by your cabinet? Why not get the wisdom of your cabinet? And she's the chief person. And so I'll run it by her, and she has helped me. Remember Pilate's wife? She said to Pilate, "Don't have anything to do with this just man." Pilate should have listened to her. He didn't do it. Now, on the other hand, a man still has to be the leader, and he has to know the word of God and teach his wife the word of God, because the Bible does say the woman being deceived was in the transgression. She can be deceived in the spiritual realm, and so can the man, but a woman tends to do that. And so the man has to watch out that his wife's not being deceived, being hoodwinked. And so that's what it says here. And Abraham, remember Sarah said to Abraham, "Hey, go into Hagar and let her be a surrogate mother." And that created a huge problem. All the Arab people that fight the Israeli people in the Middle East came out of that. Him listening to his wife when she was giving him the wrong counsel unbiblically. So your final authority has to be God, and you better follow God in your life. But realize God gave the woman to be your helper. Another way that a woman helps a man is in Titus chapter 2, 3 through 5. Here's what it says. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children," listen to this, "to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." You say, "Pastor, this has to be some chauvinist pig. This is not the Bible. I'm just reading you the Bible." You see, Paul was not a chauvinist pig, like liberals say. Paul was an apostle. He was writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was basing his doctrine on the original creation, on the Word of God. See, the problem is God didn't move. You have moved. We have moved. And we've gotten away from original plan. There's a movement called Trad Wives. How many have heard of Trad Wives? It's a movement. it means traditional wives and traditional mothers. Kind of like what you see in the 1950s when I grew up. See, there were a lot of trad wives in the 50s. And you know what? It's a lot better than we got today. It gets us back. You say, Pastor, you're about 80 years behind. 1950. No, I'm about 2,000 years behind. Amen. And about 6,000 years behind. I'm coming to you from the Bible. When I got married, I told my wife, I said, listen, the children are going to need you. You're going to be a keeper at home. And I think you can do great in the home. Man, you can decorate. You can decide where the furnishing's going to be. You can cook. You can clean. I'll go to work. I worked in boxcars, unloading boxcars. I had to wrestle guys in the boxcars, you know, every day. And out there. And I came back, and I was hungry. And she had meals ready, had the home. And then we started having kids, and she was there for the kids. I'm just saying, that's called a trad wife today. But that's just the way God set it up. Now, I realize not all women can have that right now. But really, it's because of sin. We've gone away from God. And now we have single mothers. And my hat's off to you if you're a single mom. I'd like to support you and help you the best I can. But I'm saying this is the best way. This is God's way that he has. And husbands are supposed to protect their wives from getting out there in the world. See, a lot of men say, go out there and earn money. I need you to go out and earn money. And you know what happens? Oh, she gets money. But then she gets a lot of attention from men that are out there. And they sweet talk her and try to get her into a bad position. And it works. And they get what they want. But they leave her holding the bag. And a man is sending his wife out to get money, and then what he does, he winds up and his wife gets another man. I remember when I worked at the warehouse, I asked my wife to bring me the lunch. She was, I don't know, at that time in her late 20s. And she walked in there, and all these animals that I worked with, they were all oogling her, whistling at her, you know. I remember one time the garbage man came and he was oogling her and doing stuff. And I'm like, holy mackerel, what a world we got out there. That doesn't happen to me when I go. But women have a problem with that. And they need to be protected, especially young women need to be protected. First of all, by modest dress. Don't advertise it. Don't show your thighs in public. And have a man that will protect you. You say, well, who would protect me? It's the father. If he's worthwhile, he'll protect him. I used to have a thing when I had daughters, and I remember I was shaking hands as the guys would come out. My daughters were teenagers, and one guy was out of line. I said, hey, I'd like to just do something with you. And I took him over my shoulders and spun him around a few times, put him on the ground, had him eat a little grass. He was about 6'2". I was about 30-something. I'm telling you, I didn't mess around. Fathers are to protect their wives. My one daughter, she had a boyfriend. I didn't like the boyfriend, and I chased him. And they said, what kind of father do you got? He's supposed to be a pastor. She said, a father that I respect more than this boyfriend that was running from my father. She broke up with him. She said, you're afraid of my father. I'm done with you. But I'm just saying that's a protective role, and a man is to have that protection of his wife, and so there's this violation of this principle of what the Word of God says about her being discreet, chaste. What does it mean to be obedient to the husband? This husband said, I don't want my wife to work. I'm going to take care of you. I'll give you money every week. You can go out shopping. And she doesn't say, too bad, I'm going to get in a career. She said, no, I'll honor you. I respect you. You're my husband. You have the last say. That's what it means. But we've gotten away from that, and I don't think our country's better off for it. I don't think our lives are better off for it. And I'm just saying, what will you give your mother for her Mother's Day gift? Because the best calling of a woman is to help a man. Genesis 2:18 and other scripture. And then number two, because the best gift you can give such a woman is in 1 Timothy 2:15. You say, what can I give my mother? How many of you are going to give your mother something today? All right. Whether women or men, how many of you are going to give your mother? Raise your hand again if you're going to give her some kind of gift. Okay, good, good. I'm going to tell you the best gift you can give your mother, especially if she is a good mother. Are all mothers good mothers? Well, how about Jezebel? Was she a good mother? I don't think so. How about Hillabelle? No, I don't think so. But if she's a good mother, this is the best gift you can give her. So I'm going to read it to you. It says in 1 Timothy 2:15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So what is he saying there? He's saying, I don't want a woman to be a preacher. I don't want her to be a pastor. I don't want her to be a leader of men and teach a men's class. I want her to help a man and to partner with a man and to push him out there and let him succeed and be the wind beneath his wings. I want the woman to be that kind of a person, and I want you to know that that's what you're being trained for. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Now, there's two aspects to this. First of all, how is a woman saved in childbearing? First aspect is that's how God saves the world, through a woman. You say, what are you talking about? Remember in Genesis 3:15 when God said, okay, you're going to die and go to hell because you sinned against me, and you're going to have the ground cursed, and you're going to have a rough life? He said, but I'm going to have the woman have a baby that's going to save the world. So how do we get salvation? It's through a woman giving birth. Satan knew that. Eve knew that, her first child. She said, I got a man child from the Lord. She thought it was the Messiah, but it was a murderer. His name was Cain. He killed his brother. And she, you know, God had promised, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And she thought Cain was it, but boy, was she disappointed with Cain. And he wasn't the Savior of the world. But God still was going to use a woman, and Satan knew that. So what did Satan do? Well, you can read about it in Genesis chapter 6, Jude. You can read about it in 2 Peter. You can read about it in even the book of Enoch, which is not in the canon of Scripture, but it talks about it. Satan decided he would have fallen angels morph into good-looking men, seduce women, and have them as their partners and have babies with them. And that's exactly what happened. Do you know why he did that? He wanted to corrupt the seed of the woman, that those babies were called Nephilim, or giants. And they've discovered these huge giants. And they were actually part devil, part fallen angel or devil, part human. And in the flood, when the flood happened, they died because they couldn't get saved, and they died, and they wouldn't go in the ark, but their spirits live on, and they are dirty angel, hybrids, and they're wicked, and they're also fallen angels that live on. And I'm just saying to you, only Noah and his family were not corrupted by this DNA. Their DNA was not corrupted, you see. And so Satan tried to stop the Messiah. And when Jesus was born, he was born from a what? Last I checked out? A woman. Was he born from a man? No. No. God did a miracle on a woman and gave her the one male chromosome. And she then had the female chromosome, and she was a virgin. And that's in Isaiah 7:14. It's also in the New Testament that a virgin, Mary, conceived and had a baby. And so the woman, her contribution is huge in that God chose a woman, Mary, and the Jewish maiden, Mary, to save the world, and the Jewish nation to save the world. That's the woman in the book of Genesis, and it talks about it in the book of Revelation. And Satan can't stand that. That's, by the way, why he's trying to make men dress like women, women dress like men. That unisex thing, transsexual, have women have men's body parts, and they rot when they put those things on them. It's so gross. They can't do it. And we need to get back to women being women and men being men and play our roles the way God wants us to play them. And so it says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. How she gave the Messiah, Jesus, and you know what Jesus did. Was he like Cain? Did he murder anybody? No. Was he like Cain? Did he sin? No. Can you imagine being the mother of Jesus? It was very painful, though. Because he came here to die for the sins of the world. And Mary herself was saved by Jesus. Have you been saved by Jesus? Have you seen that you're a sinner on your way to hell? And have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, who rose again? If so, you're a born-again Christian. You have eternal life. It's because of a woman who, by the way, didn't give away her gift of sexuality. She kept it. If you've given that away, you've given away your most precious gift. But through Jesus, he can forgive you, and you can decide, I'm not going to cheapen myself anymore. I'm going to hold that for God. And God can bless through that when you do that. And so Mary was blessed, and she had the baby Jesus, who grew up to be the Savior of the world, and Satan didn't like it, you know, and Jesus, when he died on the cross, he went by spirit down into hell, and down into hell, right in a chamber of hell, it's called Tartarus, are those fallen angels that went with those women and tried to stop the Messiah from coming by corrupting their seed, and they almost succeeded, and they're down there in prison because the Lord put them in jail down there, and Jesus actually went down to hell. That's what he went down there to do, not to suffer. He'd already paid for our sin. He went down there to spike the football and say, yeah, you didn't succeed. I succeeded. That was from the mother, the son of the mother, and God the Father saved the world. So you see how important a woman's role is. Now, there's a secondary meaning to this, and I want you to see it here in verse 15, and I'll be done. It says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Who is the they there? The children of the mother. You mothers that are here, if I ask you, what, you godly mothers, if I say, what is the best gift your kids can give you? You would say, and I could ask Diane, and she would say, oh, I want my children to be godly. I want them to live for God. I want them to live for, and not just Diane. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved, or her role will be powerful, not just like Mary, but you. If you have children that continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety, I told my Sunday school class, there's a little girl I visit on the bus route, and she's in fourth grade. She's going to be in fifth grade next year, and she came up to me yesterday. She always runs me down when I come. Came up to me, Pastor, I want to go to the Christian school. You were right. You told me that. And she started rattling off all this stuff, and I was like, man, God's done a work in this girl, because she was all into all the stuff in public school that they offered, and she would stay away from church for months at a time. Now she loves to come to Miss Diane's Sunday school class. She loves to come to church. I'm like, praise God. Wouldn't that be great if that young lady kept her greatest gift for the man that God has for her, has a godly home, raises children for God, what an impact that would be. What an impact that would be. And if you're a mother today, you should want to get your kids in church. Amen. Not send them, take them. We have two services going on downstairs right now, plus this one here. You should want to take them to church. You should want to get them in the Christian school. Because I'll tell you, what's offered in the government school is brainwashing, or it's brain sludging with anti-God, anti-Christ globalists, you know what. I'll try to be nice this morning. I'm just saying that the greatest gift that you can give your mother, the greatest gift I can give my mother, is to be a born-again Christian that's living for God and doing the will of God for my life. And not corrupting myself with the porno that's out there. And it's out there. Stinking porno. Women that are using what God gave them, their beauty, to ruin men. And ruin marriages, because it ruins the ability. I want to give my mother a gift of being a godly man. And that's what you men ought to want to do. And you women ought to want to give your mother the gift of being a godly woman. And you men, live for God. That's the best gift that you can give. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about...